Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Merang and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old like Danny Merang pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
hey, welcome in. Happy Friday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you.
Feels like Monday.
Yeah, I've been very confused a lot of times. It has seemed like a Monday.
Yeah.
Because we were off yesterday for Juneteenth.
For anybody who didn't know why there was a national broadcast on, it's because it is now a federal holiday, and we have been blessed by having that federal holiday.
It is a federal holiday, and we respect the company guidelines.
Yes, we do.
And yeah. Screw Christopher Columbus.
Mm. Yes. Both things can be true.
I mean, I'm okay with him.
He not good guy.
No, but we aren't here without him, you know? It's kind of like...
Well, I think we would have found a way.
I mean, we don't have to do
this. I mean, we would have found a way.
We don't have to do the historical revisionism.
I feel like...
It is a big piece of land. Somebody would have found it.
I mean, somebody would have been like, hey, we're going to take a left and see what's over there.
And the problem is we might be speaking Dutch otherwise, though.
Well,
so,
yeah. And it's not like there weren't people here before he got here.
I mean, he didn't come over here at England's behest.
No, he didn't. But I'm just saying,
Spaniard, yes.
So somebody else steers in here. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, the Vikings did it.
Yeah, a lot.
Before.
Up top.
I mean, before Columbus, you know?
You know, he does have one of the better, wool jobs.
Yeah, I'm the first person here, and the Native Americans are like, whoa, wait, buddy.
even before them,
take it easy there, pal.
The nomadic tribes
we
you're
have
talking about
been
passing
here.
Between Alaska and Russia, and it's like...
He's like, nope, found it! It's like, no, you didn't. been found!
Or the other
Way
sailors.
Before, Leif Erikson was actually here. Yeah. Right? Like, people been here, bro! Mm-hmm. He's like, nah.
That's me.
And then we're like, he got close enough.
It's kind of like the social media era, man. It's like if you have enough clout, you can just say whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, well, yes.
You know what I mean? Like
they're like, no. We obviously called dibs on this, so... No, you didn't.
That feels like the very first, real rug pull. Like, no, this is ours. Like of historical context.
Yeah.
I mean, like Genghis Khan, he basically said, this is mine.
I don't know. The Crusades may have something to say about that, too.
Yeah. Well, that
I
one,
mean, I don't know. Human civilization may have something
but I mean,
to
like,
say
like,
about
like
that.
Historical like things like that, like discoveries. Yeah. Like, no, like, I can't remember what service it was. It was Ancestry 23andMe or one of the international ones. They found like there's like something like 6% of the population of the greater Asia. It has ties back to Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
It's like...
That man spread his seed.
Yo, dude!
Johnny Appleseed got nothing on him.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
also not a good guy.
No,
also not a good guy.
Not a good guy.
Not a good
guy. You know
what's
crazy when you think about like the reign of Genghis Khan? Do you know how long it lasted for?
No.
21 years.
Yeah, probably not very long. People didn't live very long back
then. That's a really long time back then.
Like, yeah, that's a... most people weren't making it that long.
You counted your life by winters.
Yeah.
I'm 13 winters old. You know, it's like, oh, God.
And then, like, Night at the Museum softened him up a little bit
yeah.
to kids. Like, it was like, oh, look at Genghis Khan. He's the angry guy.
Mm-hmm.
In Night at the Museum, it's like, not great.
It was Conquest or Die. So, there's that.
Dang.
They did that with the Egyptians too. Like they kind of, you know, which is kind of interesting. Like this is getting very geopolitical with Ben Stiller's particular faith, you know, being enslaved for 4,000 years.
Yeah.
I kind of gloss over that part of it too. It's like, oh, that's
well, yeah.
Kid movies, that's what I mean. Like it's
they
like,
also had Hank Azaria playing King Tut.
King Tut, yeah.
King Tut. Isn't that who he was?
Yeah, I think he was Tut and then I, Robot. What's his name? Rami Malek.
Oh. Oh, no, Rami Malek was King Tut. Who was Hank Azaria?
Was he in the second one as his dad?
Maybe. I don't know. It gets very confusing. Me, not up on my Night at the Museum. All I remember is seeing Genghis Khan in it and being like, Robin Williams is Teddy Roosevelt.
Was
solid.
That was a good cast.
That was solid.
That was a good cast.
Hank Azaria, Ka Mun Ra.
Oh, yeah.
The Thinker.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hank Azaria.
There you go.
He's played a lot of nationalities. He did give up Apu.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He said, nah, probably time to stop that one.
It's interesting that that one went on longer than we were talking about it with Johnny Five and what is his name?
Fisher Stevens.
Fisher Stevens. Thank you.
Yeah.
Him like giving up that ghost a little later.
Well, I don't think that. Fisher Stevens, it was like he played that role, and then people like 25 years later were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That was a little bit of enlightenment.
That's a problem. Yeah. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? It wasn't a problem back then. Speaking of Genghis Khan, John Wayne played Genghis Khan.
John Wayne, yeah.
It's just kind of what the industry used to be. I'm not saying that it's right.
Again, back
John
to
Wayne
origins.
Rolling around horseback in Outer Mongolia going, howdy, pilgrim.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
also, Genghis was in Bill and Ted. Shout out the text line.
Yeah. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey and Excellent Adventure. Mm-hmm. Two great movies. Learned a lot about.
Oh, that's right. That's good. That's that actor that you've seen him in so many things, but you have no idea what his name is. The guy who played Genghis Khan.
You really described, you hit the nail on the head right there.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
It's just one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One of those actors that you see him in lots of things, but you have no idea what his name
is. I can't even put my face to the character right now.
Was it the original Bill and Ted?
I think it was Excellent Adventure. Because that's, they brought them all in. Oh, yeah.
You know him.
Yeah,
I just pulled a picture.
No idea what his name is.
Jeff Ross is spot on. I couldn't picture it, but the second I saw the picture,
I've seen him in like 30 things.
Yep. All right. Well, that's talking dibs, but we're back today.
Mm.
We are back today. And last night, we had a great basketball game.
We did.
Last night. Well, for one team. The other team,
it wasn't competitive basketball, but it was.
I don't think it that
entertaining basketball because of what happened to one of the teams.
Yeah, I will say, and I've defended this series. Mm-hmm. Last night was not a good game.
It was not a good game.
I didn't even think it was entertaining.
Oh, see, I'll push back on that.
No, it was not.
First couple minutes, not even that, because the Pacers couldn't do squat.
Diddly squat diddly,
and then things just flipped,
And then it just turned into a blowout, and you just saw the. Thunder were like, meh, nah, well. We had Indiana.
Mm.
Indiana. Their crowd is very savvy at taking pictures. The Stephen A video in picture of him playing solitaire. We also had the ones yesterday of during timeouts, the Thunder players just not even going to the bench.
Yeah.
They were just like, whatever, dude. Like, this game sucks.
This is cooked.
We're toast. It ain't happening today. We're okay with that. And that's where... It just seemed like OKC was playing that way after the onslaught happened. Now, that was fun to watch Indiana just play like their hair was on fire for the first half. But then it was just like, I don't need to watch this. Don't need to watch it. And that was like really the first one where it was like, no hope.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make, you're not going to erase 20 points against Indiana in the fourth quarter.
No.
You're not going to do it. That was the first fourth quarter I was like, out, not watching. Because Indiana has given us that we should be watching them no matter what the score is in the fourth quarter, because they've proven to us, doesn't matter who the opponent is, they'll go and they'll erase it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll get it to 10 at the four-minute mark. They'll get it to, hell, they don't even need to get it at the four-minute mark. It'll be 9 in the last minute of the game, and they've won games. But this was the one where I was like, that looked like a team that got disinterested in basketball in OKC.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But it gives us game 7, and I'm here for that because it heads back to OKC. And again, we have to bring up the OKC hasn't lost back-to-back games since April.
Be a hell of a way for the Pacers to close out the series.
It would be fun. Mm-hmm. And if there's a team that can do it, they've done it. I'd love to see it for Indiana. But I'd like to see Oklahoma City get their first championship, too. First, not second. Mm. Have you guys seen the AI-generated NBA champions over the next 75 seasons?
No.
Somebody had AI predict the next 75 NBA champions. I got triggered.
Mm.
I'm not going to lie.
Was there one Trailblazers one in there?
Blazers,
yeah,
and like 5 Seattle Supersonics championships. That made me more furious than anything. I was like, you have got to be kidding
me. They don't exist.
They don't even have a team right now. And then there was logos of teams that nobody's even thought of before.
I think I remember hearing Durden Sprague talk about this a while back.
Okay. I saw it the first time and I was like, nope. You're not going to get me there, AI. But then I saw it again last night, and it made me even more upset.
Yeah, no, it's you can't even do. I mean, it's hard to predict next year's, let alone 75 years out.
Well, it's artificial intelligence, Danny. That's what it's there for.
It's digging into the kids that are currently not even considered yet. All right.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Are you new to sports, Danny?
I mean, like,
people were going through. Are the Thunder now a dynasty? Mm. Last year it was dynasty. Are the Celtics a new dynasty?
Mm.
They're blowing it up 1 year later.
Ta-da!
Now we're sitting here and we're going, okay, see, before the finals even started, is this a dynasty that we're seeing in front of our own eyes? They haven't won. They haven't won. And they might lose game 7. Not even get one. This is what we do.
This is how tough it is.
Well, this is how dumb media works.
You're not wrong.
I'm not doing that. But the AI, I'll look that up and I'll tell you how many they won, because it got me triggered yesterday. Got me triggered just 5 seconds ago. I'm not going to let it happen again. We got some other fun stuff that we need to get to today as well.
Genghis Khan and Bill and Ted, the guy that we've seen in everything, but don't know his name. Al Leong.
What a great name. That's a solid name. Yeah. Al Leong. What else was he in?
Well, let's see here.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
All right.
I didn't pull up the credits.
We are less than while Rust works on that, that's Jeff Rust's homework. We'll get that on the other side. We also have got a potential new name for the WNBA team in Portland. Blazers pick 11th, less than a week from today. We are actually, 5 days away? 5 days away from the NBA draft. We have baseball going all baseball on us. I got some fun baseball stories and stats. There's one rookie who's drawing comparisons to the great Tony Gwynn that we need to talk about. And we got some college football bickering. Tell me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Can a university sue another university over an athlete while it not being an employee?
Because
that lawsuit just popped today.
Oh.
We have two schools that are... One school is suing another over poaching.
Is this the Wisconsin one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They're over poaching somebody who's not an employee.
Mm.
This is new.
Mm. Corporate espionage.
Yeah. But where we will start is the Great White Hope strikes for Indiana. Not my words, Tyrese Halliburton's words. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals went the way of the Indiana Pacers last night. Oklahoma City jumped out to, what was it, 10-2 at the beginning of that game?
It was quick.
And then it was all Pacers after that. 109 or 108 to 91, the final score in Indianapolis.
And it wasn't that close.
It wasn't. It really wasn't, because Indiana just... I don't even know how to describe what they did, because they played a frenetic pace, hair on fire, and absolutely just snapped any energy from the Thunder. Defensively, they were everywhere. They took care of the basketball to where Oklahoma City had no margin for error, and they just kept on gacking it away over and over and over again.
And it was really interesting because the Thunder came into this series and this season being one of the most disruptive teams we've seen in the modern era. Their ability to generate turnovers is one of the best we've ever seen, while also taking incredibly good care of the ball. And their three-point versatility just continues to kind of be in question. Last night, they go 8 of 30 from 3, but they have 21 turnovers, the Thunder. And it wasn't the Pacers picking up at 94 feet and applying a bunch of pressure, because the realization became, okay, we've been doing this for 5 games against SGA. What has SGA done? 30 points a game, 30 points a game, 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. Even though you can tell he's getting tired... The game the other night, not last night, but before, where SGA has 15 of the Thunder's final 16 points, despite all that pressure, it just wasn't worth it. So they get out of pressing 94 feet, and instead they let them get in their half court, and instead of expending that energy in the full court, they expend it in the half court. And they're pushing, they're pressing, they're being physical, they're jumping passing lanes, they're rotating like bats out of hell. I don't think the Pacers missed a rotation last night in the first three quarters.
No, it was pretty crazy to see. And then on the flip side of it, Oklahoma City's head was spinning, because Indiana would get in the half-court offense and the ball would just move, and then you'd see that rotation just get jumbled up, and there were guys open all night long for Indiana. And... Oklahoma City shot 8 of 30 from 3. That was helped because they went 5 of 10 in the fourth quarter from 3. They were 3 of 20. And for the longest time in that game, deep into the third quarter, they only had 2 three-point makes.
And it wasn't that they were missing open shot after open shot. The Pacers were forcing them into shots that they didn't like. The Thunder are really good at getting the shots they want to get. They weren't getting those.
It was a phenomenon. They had great individual performances. TJ McConnell almost having a 5-by-5 was crazy, with only like 12 points. TJ McConnell last night, it was, he was kind of everywhere for them. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, and took care of the ball really well until like later in the game when he was on the floor and it didn't really matter. I mean, and this is the thing. So OKC wasn't making shots. When they hadn't been making shots from three over the course of the series, mm-hmm. they had created turnovers, which is very un-Indiana-like mm-hmm. throughout this postseason. And they would make you pay. We go back to, hell, even go back to game five, where there was that stretch of, in about a minute of game time, four turnovers created by Oklahoma City. And it was like, we don't need to shoot the three. We can just kill you by creating turnovers, creating fast break opportunities, and getting the ball in hoop easy looks. Oklahoma City went 8 of 30 from three and outshot from the field the Indiana Pacers last mm-hmm. night. Like, it was...
The Pacers were great offensively.
Turnovers?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Indiana was relentless in that half-court defense mm-hmm. and flawless in everything that they did.
The other thing is...
two turnovers, too, for most of the game.
I hate getting this far into talking about the Pacers, and this has been the theme of this throughout this series. Pascal Siakam has been so damn steady.
I knew he was going to go off when he gave the eyes rolled back in the back of his head in that pregame video. When they were in the tunnel and his eyes were rolled back like he's the Undertaker, that was awesome, dude.
16 and 13, it's not going to jump off the page at you, but like he was just a dude. Like his ability to like just make plays when they matter. And he's been the guy, like Nesmith and Nembhard are going to get a lot of the credit for the perimeter defense, particularly as it pertains to Shea and J-Dub, but there was three or four different times where Pascal got switched on to either one of them, and they just, neither one of those guys could sniff anything.
Yep.
And that's the importance of Pascal Siakam being 6'9" and being mobile and being just a truck. Like, he's just so difficult to deal with. And we talked about this a lot leading to this series and the idea of like if the Pacers pull this off, what it means for this team, like what it means for Rick Carlisle. He would be one of four coaches to win a title with two franchises. And he would have done it in two vastly different ways against two teams that were thought to be so superior, against the Heatles and against this OKC team. When you talk about like historically where they stand, but the way Carlisle has deployed McConnell, the way he has deployed Nembhard, like I think everybody thought coming into the series that Nesmith would be the guy on SGA. And they tried that. And SGA ate him up. And you would mm-hmm. think, like, Nesmith, bigger, stronger, longer, more athletic. No. He goes, that's not working. We're going to go at Nembhard. I don't care that he's smaller. And Nembhard has been the guy that has bothered SGA the most and has spent the most time on him and been the best on him. Now, SGA is going to SGA, but, like...
Dude, Nembhard from three last night, too. I mean, when he hit those two corner threes, mm-hmm. he had that stretch where he scored 8 straight points to kind of open things up for them. When he is hitting threes like that, and then Hallie has the ability to walk into open threes, like that's when Halliburton made his impact. And should be noted, guy, nobody knew what his status would be. He wasn't the same, and he was limited minutes wise,
which was great for them.
But he looked really good for a guy who's dealing with a significant injury. He did enough for them to win, and he is an ultimate facilitator. We're talking about, you know, Siakam doing all the things that don't show up in a box score.
Mm-hmm.
Halliburton has been that guy, which is why people think he's overrated. But last night in 23 minutes, plus 25 is plus minus.
And the machine that is the Pacers, Halliburton is the engine. Yes, everybody else kind of feeds off that. McConnell does his own kind of version of it. But game five, when Hallie was dinged up and you could really see it, it impacted the Pacers so much because Hallie wasn't even able to be an effective decoy because him just like spotting up, it doesn't have the same gravity. Even though he's a damn near 50, 40, 90 shooter,
mm-hmm.
he's not a volume guy. So you don't necessarily treat him the exact same way. And everybody kind of knew what was going on. Whereas last night, he's getting off the ball and moving. And when he gets off the ball and moves, it's not Steph Curry, but it's Curry-esque in that when he moves off the ball, because you know that that ball's going to ping around and it may end up back with him, it may end up with Pascal, like you have to worry about him more when he's cutting through, coming out the other side. And I thought the play that kind of encapsulated that the most was the give and go. pump fake at the three-point line, one-step drive, kick to the corner, immediate catch on the give and go.
No idea what play you're talking about.
Oh, you don't remember that? Yeah, he got, I think he got Chet up in the air and then kicks it to the corner, catches it immediately on the run and just hits a little bit of a floater. And it was like, oh, that's pretty. Like, that's Pacers basketball right there. That's the thing that they were missing in game five. And that was basically the point at which the Pacers put the stamp on it. Now the three to close out the third quarter and get it back to 30. That was the death knell. Like yeah. that was it. Like, this game's over. 30 piece. You're done. You're cooked. Figure it out. We're on to the next. Which is why having that lead and being at that point there, having Haliburton only play 23 minutes and then get the 3 days off, he's not going to magically heal. But you didn't have to play him 37 minutes and yep. die down the like he could. Start his rehab before he gets on the plane. And like, I genuinely believe that is going to be a big factor going into game
seven. It'll be interesting. Did Indiana leave last night, or they don't play till Sunday? It would be interesting to see if they leave tomorrow, like mid-afternoon, so Haliburton can be at home, get treatment, and then take off and go. You don't want to be in Oklahoma City any longer than you have
to. Not only that, when you're dealing with any kind of tissue injury, you don't want to be at altitude either, because you always want to have the most oxygen, blood circulation.
Driving.
Yeah, it would be funny. Like,
10-hour drive.
There's been that kind of stuff's happened before.
Yep.
It's not common, but it's not uncommon either. But also, a lot of these guys now, when they do have those injuries, they'll...
Didn't a Blazer do that? Punctured lung, went somewhere?
Yep.
Drove from Texas to Florida or something?
I thought it was Utah, but it did happen because you can't get to elevation with a deflated lung. Was it CJ?
I don't know.
I think it was CJ.
Maybe.
But as it pertains to not only just Haliburton, but NBA players in general, like, these guys, they travel with like hyperbaric chambers now.
Yeah.
Like, so they can try.
Crazy.
It's absolutely nuts. But there's so many things going into game seven and all the history that goes around game sevens, because it's actually been very funny, because these offenses have been what they've been in this. And we talk about, oh, it's these high-powered offenses. You know what the ratings are for both teams? It's 109 and 110.
Yep.
What would have been two of the worst offenses in the league this year?
Doesn't matter. It's the finals. Exactly. They're worn out. They're run ragged. And what we had last night was balance from the Indiana Pacers. You had six players in double figures, the leading scorer, 20 points. Off the bench, Obi Toppin with a phenomenal game. We will talk about TJ McConnell, Obi Toppin, in the bench coming through for the Indiana Pacers, and where this game seven is headed, because it's the first game seven that we've had since 2016. People love a game seven. Even if this has been a series that not a lot of people have watched for whatever reason, you have missed really good basketball in a lot of the games.
Insane.
This is, game seven will have everybody's attention on Sunday in Oklahoma City. Coming up next, though, we will change gears. We got the NBA draft coming up on Wednesday, and there's a lot of uncertainty, not just in the draft order, but the direction of a lot of franchises in the NBA, because we got off the air on Wednesday, and all of a sudden the Lakers were up for sale. $10 billion. That is incredible. What does the NBA draft on Wednesday, the first round, have in store? Because we could see some monumental shift, not just to where teams are playing, but where stars may be going. Danny and Dusty, here's Rust with SportsCenter.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trailblazers will select 11th in Wednesday's NBA draft. We will have the latest on the intel and what the listeners of this radio program wanted there, because you guys ran a poll on Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Of who do you want in the NBA draft? Kasparis Jakaciūnas, Carter Bryant, Cedric Coward, or other? And we have the results of that. And how the likelihood of that happening for the hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers. But Wednesday is shaping up to just have fireworks left and right, because we found out yesterday that Ace Bailey, whose draft stock has been falling on its own, decided to go, all right, I'll go ahead and add a little fuel to this fire, and canceled his only workout with the Philadelphia 76ers that he had scheduled. His only workout, said, nah, I'm good, and will not work out in, he was supposed to be doing it today, yeah, in Philly.
He was going to do a kind of a walk around, meet the staff, all that kind of stuff, sit down, do interviews yesterday, and then do the workout today. Cooper Flagg did the same thing for Dallas. He went down there.
Little different.
Yeah, but he went down there. What's really interesting is the Mavericks did not bring anybody else in. And it's not, look, sometimes you do your due diligence just because, but they didn't. They basically said, we don't want Cooper to think that we're not 100% in on him. But Cooper went down there for 2 days, went out for...
I think Dallas has given basketball players a reason to have that concern.
That's why I think they probably did it, is the optics of that. I'm like, no, you're our guy, we'll go down this path. But Cooper went down there for a day, or down there for 2 days is what I was told, and did the thing of like, hey, let's go wine and dine, go out for dinner. But I guess he went out on the court once, and then he went back out again to basically show everybody, no, this is what you're getting, because he's that kind of dude. The Ace Bailey stuff. So for folks though that don't know, his agent is Sharif Cooper's dad. And basically if NBA player that had a bunch of problems.
I was like, all right, yeah. I don't that
if
did,
if you're an NBA
not,
guy, just Google Sharif Cooper.
Did
and
not
you'll kind of figure it out. It's nothing like grotesque or illegal, it's just a lot of bad decisions were made. And it'll be seen at the draft whether or not this impacts him a lot and with regards to Ace Bailey. But everybody I've talked to, evaluators, scouts, front offices, other media members, just everyone universally agrees that his agent is gacking this up in a way that, like, this is not how you do this. And it's a little Shedeur Sanders-y. Mm-hmm. It does feel like that, but it's not. Ace does not have what I would determine as the character flaws that Shedeur had, the arrogance of it all. There's some of that, but it's mostly just maturity questions, and not in the sense of like anything toxic, but just that he's just not there. And then you compare him to the guys who are going to go in front of him in Cooper and Dylan. They're pros.
Yeah.
Like they're pros. And it's such a, like, if I was Ace's agent, I would be trying to show that he can be that, because that is the thing that just beyond the basketball, people just don't know if he's ready to be a pro. Like that's,
yeah.
They all say he's a nice, affable, joking, good times kid. Like that's, but it's emphasized hard on the kid. Whereas even though Cooper's the youngest guy in this draft, no one questions whether or not he's ready.
This is something that a lot of folks in professional sports thought NIL would help.
Yeah.
Is the professionalization of it, where you get a little coin in your pocket, you are going through knowing that you are getting ready for a professional career. This is nothing new to the one and dones, mm-hmm. right? And maybe this is like, I can't believe I'm saying this, to the credit of guys like John Calipari, who are used to developing mm-hmm. one and done guys, not for success in that 1 year that they are at Kentucky or now Arkansas, but developing them so they're ready to be professionals, mm-hmm. that there are certain one and done type coaches that get you ready for professional basketball in 1 year, learning how to be a pro in that 1 year. In Rutgers, it was surprising to everybody when it was like Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey mm-hmm. both going to Rutgers, and that readiness for the professional level. One got it, The other didn't.
Well, one of them's the son of a former NBA player. And that plays such a huge part in this.
Growing up in it.
But what's really interesting is, as we get closer to the draft, the things behind the scenes are starting to solidify with at least mild consensus as far as probably the eight players who are going to go in the top eight. But there's also a lot of rumblings about teams that are looking to trade up. A lot of teams are looking to trade up into that top eight. And then there's a group of teams that I think are looking to trade up into the 9 through 12 range. And whether or not those things come to fruition, I don't know. But it sounds like it's going to be busy. Now, there's times when we think, you know, this, you know, trade deadline was supposed to be quiet. We were all, everybody was chilling. And then we weren't. So
Nico Harrison, yeah. Leroy Jenkins.
And does somebody do that? And everybody is sitting here waiting. Is Phoenix going to make the move before the draft or like a couple hours before going into the draft? Because once that domino falls with Kevin Durant, are they going to be a team that's picking in the top 10? Because the Raptors are a team that are if I had to handicap it right now, I would say that neither Houston nor San Antonio moves for Kevin Durant.
Here's a question that I have. I want you to think about this, and then when we come back, we'll have Jeff Rust give us our update to, what's his name, Al
Leong.
Al Leong's,
there we go.
Cinematic history.
IMDb.
But I also want to, the more pressing question here, the Lakers just agreed to sell for $10 billion.
Mm.
They were a team that was perceived to be wanting to be active, whether it is on the NBA draft or this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sale affect how aggressive they can be and are going to be come next Wednesday and then moving forward into the free agency mm-hmm. period? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's time for the Easy Play, brought to you by HomeZ, making home improvement easy.
18-point deficit, OKC. 45 seconds to go. Pass stolen by Halliburton. How about Tyrese Halliburton? No look. And Siakam with the jam. Halliburton delivering in game six. 20-point lead, Indiana.
Another turnover. Two more points.
Mark Kestisher, PJ Carlissimo, as you heard right here on The Fan last night. Halley, no look. Siakam, finish.
I hope that ends up being the play that we all look back on at the end of this and go, hey, you know what would be really cool? That no-look play and the Pacers running the Thunder out of the building is the spark point for them getting their title.
This Easy Play brought to you by Homesy. Use Homesy's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call Homesy. That's HOMZE.com. 10 Billy. Lakers.
Valuation.
Well, I mean, isn't that... Wasn't that the agreed upon terms there?
Well, it's a $10 billion valuation, but they only bought into, what was it, 50?
I think, yeah, like 51%.
51%.
So, you know, so they're paying $5.1 billion.
That right there was the big question because dude's only worth $12 billion. Bum.
Only.
That is just a stupid sentence that we say.
But it's also, it's the group that he manages.
Yeah.
Has a portfolio that's, you know, one of the bigger portfolios on the planet. $349 billion.
We have talked about this quite often, and it's really interesting to hear that a lot of the talking heads and reporters in the NBA world are now finally starting to use the term that you were saying 3 years ago, in that the Lakers have been run like a mom-and-pop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And now they actually will have the financial backing to go and make moves that the Lakers probably should be. Like saying the second apron, F it. We're going to roll right past it.
Even beyond the salary cap stuff. Okay. Jeannie Bruss's little brother runs their scouting department. He's actually been very, very, very good. If you look at Laker draft picks over the last 10 years, They've done a great job. Lot of home runs, with one of the ones they missed on was when Pelinka overruled. That's pretty much the, like, Brandon Ingram was a good draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Randle was a good draft pick. D'Angelo Russell, like they were good draft picks. Like, you just kind of go down the list. Yes, they have their warts, this, that, and the other, but if you go look at those drafts, like, they did pretty damn well. Now, there's some misses certainly in there as far as, like, they could have done better, certainly. But just historically, they've done well. But
it also makes it easier, though, when you have a star in place.
It does. It certainly does, which is what LA does.
Draft, and you know that if you don't have him yet, you will soon. You know, like that. We here in Portland, we like to kick ourselves in the downstairs every draft because it's like, oh, here we go again. Like the one popped up the other day of, you know, we talk about Bowie over Jordan and Oden over Durant, but we don't give it nearly enough credence that we traded out of number three when Deron Williams and Chris Paul were there.
Yeah, for Martell Webster because we had Sebastian Telfair. Like that one, that hurts.
Like we do that every draft though. Yeah. Every draft we do that here.
Yeah, that hurts.
But the hard part is, well, you can't really say that this guy would have been better than this guy when you don't have the star in place.
Sure. But the other part of this is the Lakers don't have an NBA scouting arm. Like every team has scouts that scout the rest of the NBA personnel scouting. They don't have that.
Well, maybe they're hacking the system here of
overthinking
the room.
Yeah.
Maybe you get too far into the weeds and you can't see what the actual just no-brainer pick is.
I mean, but there's also the nepotism within the organization and the bleeding over relationships. I don't think people that are not Lakers fans know the impact that the Rambis family has on the Lakers.
Not just Kurt, but his wife.
His wife is Jeannie's best friend. The Rambi, as it were, had a pretty stern grasp of, I mean, that was part of the Jerry West stuff. Like, and they went ultimately who they decided to go, and Jerry West defects and goes to Golden State and then ends up with the Clippers. Like, it wasn't until the very end that West and the Lakers kind of made up. Like, it didn't go well. But the Lakers, it's not just the spending on the CBA stuff. It's the spending on all the ancillary stuff.
Yeah.
It's scouting. It's practice facility. It's all of the pizzazz of like team, like the Houston Rockets, you know, Mike Richmond on Locked On brought up, you know, Tillman Fertitta like bought a brand new plane in 2020, like a team plane, like having a kick-ass locker room, like Ballmer, he has done in LA for the Clippers is completely rebrand them and give them all of the shiny things.
It is what Paul Allen did to the Blazers. There was Blazer One, which was, you know, everybody's like, the Blazers got their own plane, like in the 90s. Mm-hmm. The practice facility being built, the Moda Center in the Rose Garden being built. Like he was injecting the money on the other stuff.
He was also spending more money on rosters, which is why we got like everybody wants to blame Lacob and Ballmer for spending in the modern era. Paul Allen had $100 million roster in the late 90s. He was lapping the league. He did not care.
When were we in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, and there was an acronym, SPAM. Spend Paul Allen's money.
Hell yeah.
That's what they did.
And he was okay with it.
He was like, and it was working. They were freaking 12 minutes away from going to the NBA Finals and winning a title. Like, everything they did was working. And that's when you started to see the new CBAs that were like, no, we can't. Because at that point in time, for those that are unaware, Paul Allen was the owner in the NBA. He was the one in the high castle on the tallest seat. He was the guy because nobody had more money and influence at that point in the NBA than Paul Allen. And everybody didn't like it because that's what ends up happening is you look around the room and it's the same thing that happened with the Warriors and Clippers.
It's a measuring contest
of like, yeah, we don't want, like, the valuation you talk about with the Lakers being valued at $10 billion, you know, that's what whatever the percentage of equity they bought is valued at. The Warriors, before this happened, the Lakers were at like $7.2 billion. The Warriors are at $9.4 billion. If they were to open up and sell right now, I bet you the valuation would be close to 12.
I wonder how this affects Portland's sale, too, at auction. And does it thin the herd of, you know, the groups that can afford it? Because it the price of brick keeps going up.
Yeah.
I mean, it went up because of the Celtics. And think of that. The Celtics just sold for $6 billion, and people were like, Blazers just went up. Now you have a valuation and a half sale of the Lakers at $10 billion valuation. $5 billion is what they're paying for half of the team. That's almost what the Celtics were sold for.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts, but that's what the power of LA. I don't think it's going to affect the Blazers wholeheartedly, but I do believe that we are done with single owners unless the Larry Ellisons of the world, who, for those that don't know, Larry Ellison is the founder and owner of Oracle. He's a name that I've heard, and again, this isn't like reporting, but he's a name I've heard because he's a name that has been vetted through the NBA process. Like, he has more money than God.
It's a short list.
It, like, when you're talking about the I have more money than God list, it's like 10 people on the planet.
Was Ballmer buying the Clippers for $2 billion? Are we going to look back on that and be like, that was one of the smartest things that anybody has, like, that value? Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to go back to, like, when Jerry Buss bought the Lakers for, I think he bought it for $67 million.
Yeah, you got the Lakers, the Kings, the building, and, like, 13,000.
Yeah, and the Forum.
Yeah, you got the Forum. And then, like, 13 or 18,000 acres of land. It was like, holy crap. And for those that don't know, Buss leveraged himself to non-existence to make that happen.
But we looked at that, and it was seen as an overpay by Ballmer. Everybody was like, he's moving the Clippers to Seattle. And he had the famous line of, you don't pay LA money to move a team to Seattle. No. And that's what he did. The Clippers' valuation is going to go through the roof because now they have their own arena. Mm-hmm. They are a competent organization.
Since he has taken over, it has been the best years of the Clippers franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has it all come together for them? No. Like, they've been done in by injury. But I think he's done everything necessary as far as ownership goes to make them successful, to make them relevant.
That's it.
Because the problems that the Clippers have had are not because of ownership and the organization.
No, I think Lawrence Frank and Ballmer have done everything they can. They went out and got Kawhi Leonard. They went out and got Paul George. Like, they have done the things that fan bases ask franchises to do, which is give them the place to go watch a game. It's nice. Intuit Dome is probably the nicest arena in basketball right now.
Do something for the fans with your cheap tickets, the fan wall.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The engagement, all the stuff that they do, building the arena in Inglewood away from, like, being
all
its
the
own
toilets.
Little place. Yeah. Having more toilets. Was it 1,280? I think is what it is. But investing cash everywhere. And there's always the stuff about, well, you know, maybe they did some stuff off the books for Kawhi and bought him a house and the helicopter. And, you know, it's like, but, like, you're doing all of the things that fan bases want you to care about.
Also, I will say, those things that are the off the books things, good franchises do that for their guys, and that doesn't get talked about enough. Like,
no,
DeJounte Murray just had a story that was, it just tells you who Greg Popovich is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So DeJounte Murray, when he was in San Antonio, his mom was still living in the home that they grew up in, and she had gotten shot in the leg. Mm-hmm. Pop didn't talk to Murray. He went and called his mom and said, we're moving you down. And she's like, I can't do that. He's like, no, we're not using his money. We're using my money.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to move you down here. You cannot be where you're living right now.
For his and your safety and mental well-being.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that conversation, DeJounte Murray talked about how awful the Pelicans franchise was.
Yep.
How he couldn't get on a training table.
Yep.
Because they didn't have room, space, time, all of the things. And Gail Benson, owner of the Pelicans, runs it as a secondary franchise to the Saints in New Orleans.
Because it is.
And it's like,
hell, Mickey Loomis was the GM for both of those organizations when she took over.
Yeah, just.
She was just like, I got the Pelicans. Mickey, you run it. Yeah. He was like, what?
What? I'm not a basketball guy. I've got football.
Me football.
But, like, you hear, like, this is not a secret, man. Like, everybody, basically everyone that's left New Orleans has been like, get me the hell. Dyson Daniels, he called the land cursed. Like, just because of how dysfunctional everything has been.
Well, they did do an actual seance of the Superdome. That's real.
Yeah.
They did that.
They full on Kyrie Irving the Boston Celtics floor.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers, now that they have a new partial owner, well, majority owner.
Majority
owner. At 51%, does this make them more active? And what does it mean for the Portland Trail Blazers, who select 11th? And what is the latest intel as we are less than a week away? We're 5 days away from the NBA draft.
Oh boy.
And the Blazers are sitting 11. The latest intel and who you want the Blazers to pick as a result of the Danny and Dusty poll next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.